Our passage is going to be Romans chapter 2, verses 25 to 29. The Apostle Paul writes, "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." If you remember back in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul began his letter to the Romans by saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew and also for the Greek." And so Paul's plan in the letter to the Romans is to show us how God plans on saving the world, both Jews and Gentiles, and he's going to save them all the same way, through Jesus Christ. And he's going to get to that. He's going to explain to us the gospel and the good news of salvation in chapter 3, so we're almost there. But before he does that, before he explains to us how a person is saved, he spends the first couple of chapters showing us the need that everyone has for salvation. The need that everyone has to be saved. In chapter 1, he spoke of all the nations, of the Gentiles. And he said, they've all rejected God. They've all turned against God, and therefore they're condemned. Therefore they need salvation. And then he goes to chapter 2, and he addresses the Jews. Any Jews who thought that I'm fine the way that I am because I'm Jewish. And he says, no, just because you're Jewish, that doesn't automatically make everything fine. And the fact that you have continually broken the law of God means that you're also in danger of condemnation. And therefore, the Jews also need Christ. Everyone needs Christ because they've all sinned. And so chapter 2 is finishing off Paul's addressing the Jew. And Paul is going to go after, in our passage for today, these five verses, he's going to go after the Jew's defining mark. That which made someone a Jew. What was it? Circumcision. Circumcision was the most important thing for the Jew. And so the main point of today's text, if you don't get anything else out of it, the main point of today's text is that since the Jews disobey God by not keeping his law, their circumcision is worthless. And they need to be circumcised in the heart rather than in the flesh. Okay, that's the main point. So, a few words about circumcision, since it's the main topic of our passage. Where do we first read about circumcision? Well, if you have the piece of paper, you can guess where we first read about it. Genesis chapter 17, where Paul, so used to talking about Paul, it just comes up all the time. God is speaking to Abraham, and he's making this covenant with Abraham. And so look at what it says, Genesis 17, verse 10. This is God speaking to Abraham, and he says, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant," okay, that's the sign of the covenant between me and you. "He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So we see here in the Old Testament, circumcision was very important. God said, it is the sign of the covenant between you and me. And so it's this covenant between God and Abraham and Abraham's descendants. And he's saying it's a mark that we're going to have on your body, which signifies that you belong to the people of God. If anyone does not have this sign on their body, he says, you're going to be cut off. So if you don't have this sign on your body, you're not going to be part of the people of God. But, we read that and we're like, oh, this is very serious. And it was, but circumcision was meant to be a physical sign, a sign in your body, which signified, which was a picture of something spiritual. And that spiritual thing that it was a symbol of was the circumcision of the heart. What does this mean? You could belong to the people of God externally, physically, ceremonially through circumcision, but what mattered was to be amongst the people of God in your heart, to be circumcised in your heart, to have that mark of being the people of God spiritually through faith. Okay? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Our next passage, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Remember the context of Deuteronomy? Moses brought the people out of Egypt. That whole generation rejected God. They died in the wilderness. And now Deuteronomy is the next generation that's about to go into the land. And Moses is preparing them because he's going to die. And so he's preparing them to go into the land. And listen to what he says to them. Deuteronomy 10:16. This is Moses speaking to the people. He says, therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. Okay, so notice here, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and don't be stiff-necked anymore. So if you're uncircumcised in your heart, that means that you're stiff-necked. That person who's stiff-necked is someone who's just stubborn and disobedient and just won't listen. So if you get circumcised in your heart, that means that you are now obedient toward God. Okay? Look at the next verse, Deuteronomy 30. Again, this is Moses speaking to the people again. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. So it says God is going to circumcise your heart. And what will the result be once he circumcises your heart? You will then love God with all your heart. Okay? So a person who is not circumcised in his heart, he doesn't love God. He can be circumcised in his flesh, but if he's not circumcised in his heart, he doesn't love God. And if you don't love God, you don't really belong to the people of God. It's pretty simple. Okay? So in the Old Testament, God says to Israel, get circumcised in the flesh, but he wants them to be circumcised in the heart. Well, he wants both in the Old Testament. Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. It's not that difficult to follow religious rituals. You just do them. It's not that difficult to eat the right stuff, say the right words, do the right rituals. You just do them and that's it. What is difficult is dealing with issues of the heart. It is difficult to deal with sin. It is difficult to deal with temptation. And so the Jews did what so many other people do in the world today. They focus on the external, the outward, the religious act, because it's much easier. Just get the baby circumcised. Done. We're done. It's much more difficult to try and deal with spiritual matters. And so what happens? You have all the Jews get circumcised in the flesh. They do. But how many of them are circumcised in the heart? That's the problem. Just go through the Old Testament. It's one failure after another. It's just the Jews were just a bunch of pagans, basically, with a small group among them who are actually believers. Because they are circumcised in the flesh, but they're not being circumcised in the heart. They're not loving God, and they're not being obedient to God. Let me give you a quick little story of an event that happened a couple of hundred years, around 200 years before the time of the New Testament. The Jews at this time were under, again, they weren't independent, just as they were under the Babylonians, and then they were under the Persians, and under the Greeks, and then under the Romans. At this time, around 160 BC, they are under the government of the, we'll call them the Syrians, all right? And the king of this Syrian little empire was called, his name was Antiochus or Epiphanes, or Antiochus Epiphanes, as we say in English. And Antiochus, this man who had control over the land of Israel, hated Judaism. Hated Judaism, all right? He wanted to spread Hellenism. He wanted to spread the Greek culture and the Greek gods. And so he hated Judaism. And this is a man, if he could, he would have just wiped out all the Jews like that. This is a man who went to Israel, went into the temple in Jerusalem and set up a statue of Zeus in the temple. Here's a man who he sacrificed a pig in the temple. And that just set off a war in Israel. All right. And one of the things that he put into law was that it was illegal for the Jews to circumcise their children. And not just illegal, but punishable by death. So you're a Jew living a couple of hundred years before Christ, and the government tells you, you can't circumcise your child, or we execute you. Well, this was too much for the Jews to handle, and so they started a war and basically turned the land of Israel into a bloodbath, fighting off the Syrians. And surprisingly enough, they were able to kick them out. They were able to overthrow the Syrians and get them out. And so from this point on, as important as circumcision already was, now it has become the absolute mark of our, it's not just our spiritual identity, it's our national identity, okay? Our fathers died for this, literally. They fought and died for circumcision. They paid with their blood. They were martyred for circumcision. So the Jews, for the Jew, circumcision was the greatest thing of all, the absolute height of Judaism. It was so important that the Jews called, in the time of Jesus, the Jews called themselves what? The circumcision. We are the circumcision. And what did they call the rest of the world and the Gentiles? You are the uncircumcision. It is what defined them. Okay, there are writings at the time of around this time by rabbis who basically said, if you are circumcised, you cannot go to hell. They would say things like, Abraham, God set Abraham at the gates of hell, and he will not let anyone circumcised go to hell. It's your ticket in. This is how you get in. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, he believed the same things. He believed the same things. I want to show you something. In the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul is dealing with some false teachers who were saying that you need to get circumcised in order to be saved and stuff like that, right? And so they were boasting in their physical accomplishments. And Paul says, well, if we're going to boast about physical accomplishments, I can boast too, because I used to be a Jew. Well, I am a Jew, but you know what I mean, all right? And listen to what he says. And because in this passage, Philippians 3, Paul gives a long list of the things that he was confident in, the things that he trusted in before he became a Christian. And look at what he says, Philippians 3, verses 4 and 5. He says, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I'm sure that I was better than you being a Jew. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. And he goes on and on and on and on with the list of how awesome he was as a Jew. But what's the first thing on the list? First thing on the list, circumcised the eighth day. I was in. You know, Jews may differ as to how zealous they are. Jews may differ as to how much knowledge they have. Jews may differ as to how obedient they are. But one thing that gets us all in, circumcision. You're circumcised, you're in. That's what the Jews believed. All right, and so this is where, this is what Paul is addressing. This is what Paul is dealing with in our passage today. The Jew that thought he was automatically part of the people of God because he was circumcised in the flesh. So what does Paul say? Go back to Romans chapter 2, the beginning there, verse 25. He says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, again, he's dealing with the same issue. He's dealing with people who are saying, he's dealing with people in Galatia who were thinking maybe we should get circumcised so that we can become Jews and become part of the people of God. And Paul says, oh, hold on there. He says, if you get circumcised, you are putting yourself under obligation to keep the law. Okay? Circumcision is like the entrance, the initiation into Judaism. So if you get circumcised for this reason, then you have to obey the law. You willing to do this? And Paul here says to all these people who are circumcised, he's talking to the Jews who are circumcised, and he says, yeah, you're circumcised, but you don't keep the law. You're in this covenant, but you don't keep the law. So what good is your circumcision? It was supposed to mark you off as the people of God, and the people of God are supposed to be obedient, but you're not obedient. So your circumcision has in essence become uncircumcision. It doesn't count. It's worthless because you're disobedient to God. This is a huge statement. This is a massively important statement because, in essence, if you're talking to a Jew and you say to him, remember, his circumcision is what makes him a Jew. So if he is talking to a Jew and he says, your circumcision doesn't count, which is what he says, your circumcision doesn't count, he has automatically put him in the same category as everyone else. All these other people are uncircumcised. I'm circumcised. Yeah, it doesn't count. So you're just like everyone else. You're all on the same level together. And this is not a New Testament concept. Let me tell you a story from the Old Testament, from the prophet Hosea, which I'm sure you read all the time. The prophet Hosea, God was upset, angry with Israel because of their unfaithfulness, because of their disobedience. And he tells the prophet Hosea to go marry a prostitute and to have children of prostitution with her, whatever that means. And it was supposed to be a picture of the relationship that God had with Israel, because God had a covenant with Israel, but Israel was unfaithful, was going after other gods, acting like a prostitute towards God. And so Hosea was a picture of God, and his prostitute wife was a picture of Israel. And they have a child, a boy, and God says, I want you to name this child Lo-Ami. Now, for you Hebrew scholars out there. Lo ami. Lo means no or not. It's a negative. Am means people. And when you put an e at the end of the word, it means my. So ami means my people. Lo ami means not my people. So written 800 years before Christ, through Hosea, God says to Israel, you're like a prostitute, you've broken your covenant with me, and you're not my people. Well, we know that the rest of the Gentiles, we know that the rest of the world, they're not God's people. But from the moment that he says to Israel, you're not my people, they're on the same level as everyone. They're on the same level as everyone. You don't keep the law, so it makes no difference. We're circumcised, but you're not circumcised at heart. You're not obeying me. You're like everyone else. Everyone's in the same boat together. Being Jewish and being circumcised makes no difference because you don't love God, you're not obedient to God, you're not faithful to God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 on our page. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. The prophet is speaking to the people, the Lord is speaking through the prophet, and he says this, verse 25, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt, Judah, Edom, the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners, who dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart." He says, I'm going to punish everyone. Those who are circumcised and those who are uncircumcised. Both. They're all getting punished. And notice how, in this list of nations that he's going to punish, notice how insignificant the place of Judah is. He doesn't put Judah in the beginning for emphasis. He doesn't put Judah at the end for emphasis. He says, Egypt, Judah, Edom, they're all the same. They're all the same. Oh, but we're circumcised in the flesh. Yeah, but he says you're uncircumcised in heart. So it counts as the same thing. Doesn't count that you're circumcised because you're not circumcised in the heart. So your circumcision in the flesh is, as Paul says, basically worthless if you don't love God. So he says you disobey God. And back in Romans chapter 2, he said in verse 25 that your circumcision has become uncircumcision. And then verse 26, he says, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? He says, let's assume that we have a Gentile, someone who's not circumcised, and he kept the law and was obedient to God. He would be counted as circumcised. He would be counted as the people of God. You don't obey God. So I don't care that you're circumcised. You don't obey God, therefore you're not part of God's people. If we had someone who did obey God, I would count him as circumcised. Even if he's not, I would count him as circumcised because that's the person who loves God. That's the person who obeys God. Look at verse 27. And will not the physically uncircumcised... Romans 2:27, and will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? Jesus said a similar thing in the Gospels. Jesus was preaching to the Jews, and they were unrepentant, wouldn't listen. And look at what Jesus said. We have it, Matthew 12, verse 41. Jesus said, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. What's he talking about? The prophet Jonah was sent to Assyria to preach to the Ninevites, who are not Jews. And he told them to repent, and they repented. And now Jesus is speaking to Jews. The Jewish Messiah is talking to the Jews, and they don't listen. And he says, on the last day, on judgment, the Ninevites are going to rise up together with you, and they're going to condemn you. Because they repented at Jonah, and I'm far greater than Jonah, and you don't believe me. That's what Paul is saying here. All right? I don't care about your nationality and your genealogy. Do you love God? Do you obey God? Do you trust in God? Don't tell me that you're Jews, because there's other people who are not Jews and they believe in God more than you do. And here now is the climax of the passage. In fact, we could say it's the climax of the chapter. Very important verses. Verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. They're saying, we're Jews, therefore we're the people of God. And Paul says, you know what, there's Jews and then there's the real Jews. There are many people who are Jews outwardly, who physically are circumcised in the flesh, who have the blood of Abraham. But he says the real Jew, there's such a thing as a real Jew and a fake Jew. The real Jew, he says, is one inwardly, spiritually, who has the faith of Abraham. That's the real Jew. Look at the passage that we have here, Galatians 3, on our piece of paper. Galatians 3. Paul is dealing with the same subject. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. That's the real Jew. Oh, we're Jews because we have the blood of Abraham. He says, nope. Only those who have the faith of Abraham are the children of Abraham. I don't care about your genealogy. What about your faith? Let me show you another passage. John chapter 8. Again, Jesus is dealing with the Jews, and he's arguing with them. And the Jews are saying, he's telling them that they need to repent, in essence. And they're like, oh, we're fine. We're fine. He's telling them that they're enslaved to sin. And they're like, no. We've never been enslaved to anyone. We're fine. We're fine the way that we are. And look at what he says. John chapter 8, verses 39 and 40. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. There it is. Abraham is our father. So we're good. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. They say, we're the children of Abraham. What's Jesus' response? If you were the children of Abraham, you'd do the same stuff that Abraham did. Notice, if you were the children of Abraham, you would do this. But you don't do this, implying you're not the children of Abraham. Of course we have his blood. I can show you my birth certificate. I can show you my genealogy. I am a child of Abraham. Jesus says, no, you're not. No, you're not. Because if you were, you'd be like him. If you were, you'd love me. And instead, you're trying to kill me. You're not children of Abraham. Notice the consistency of Paul and Jesus. Who are the true Jews? The one in the heart. Who are the real children of Abraham? The one in the heart. The ones who have faith. Paul says, circumcision is not that which is outward, it's the inward that matters. Anyone can be circumcised in the flesh. The question is, who is circumcised in the heart? In the spirit, not with the letter of the law. In Philippians chapter 3, same passage that we mentioned earlier, that Paul is dealing with people who are false teachers and they're telling people to get circumcised in order to be saved. And then Paul said, well, let me tell you about my resume. Notice what he says in the beginning of that passage. Philippians chapter 3, look at the next text. Philippians 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul says, "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." He says, beware of dogs. And by the way, dogs 2,000 years ago were not pets. They didn't have the cute little dogs in their homes. Dogs were dirty, filthy, scavenging in the garbage, spreading their disease. And so he's likening these false workers, these lying teachers, to dogs who's spreading their disease. He says, beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Mutilation? What are you talking about, Paul? Well, they're going around telling people to get circumcised in the flesh. But they're not trusting in Christ. They're not telling people to trust in Christ. They're telling people to trust in the act of cutting off their foreskin. And he says, beware of these people. Beware of the mutilation. Because if there's no circumcision of the heart, you're just mutilating yourself. And so he says in verse 4, we are the circumcision. What were the Jews saying? We're the circumcision. Paul says, we Christians, we're the circumcision. We're the children of Abraham. We're the Jews. We're the real Israel. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We don't trust in what we've done in our flesh. We trust in what the Spirit of God has done in our hearts. And Paul closes Romans chapter 2. What was the last phrase in Romans chapter 2, at the end of verse 29? Whose praise is not from men, but from God. That's what we want. And he's playing on words here, because he's talking about who the real Jew is. And you know what? Jew comes from the word Judah. Okay? Judean, Judah. You're a Jew because you're from Judah. Does anyone know what Judah means? I'll give you one guess. Praise. That's what the word means. Praise. And so he's playing on the word here. You know who the real Jew is? You know who the real praise is? The one who gets praise from God and not from men. See, the Jews could go around patting each other on the back and saying, you're circumcised. Good for you. Good for us. We're the circumcision. And Paul says, yeah, stop telling yourselves how great you are because you're circumcised. What matters is that you get praise from God. What a real believer wants is God to say to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, before we close, that was the text. Before we close, just a couple of major lessons from the text today. Number one, this passage tells us who the real Jews are. It's those who are circumcised in their heart, regardless of nationality. God doesn't care about your nationality. God doesn't care about your physical heritage. If you're circumcised in the heart, that's the real Jew. If you have the faith of Abraham, that's the real child of Abraham. In fact, who is the real Jew? Who is the one real Jew? Who is the one real Israelite? Who is the one who kept the law of God perfectly? Because that's the real Israelite, Jesus. And in the book of Galatians, Paul says to us, Jesus is the only one who kept the law perfectly. But guess what? If you are in Christ, if you are united to Christ by faith, and he's the one true Israelite, then you also become part of that. You're also the true Israelite. How? Through faith in Christ, not through your bloodline. This will change radically how you read the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. You're reading the Old Testament, and you see that God promises to Israel salvation and blessing and an inheritance. Who's that for? I want some of that. Well, guess what? If you are in Christ, if you have the faith of Abraham, if you're circumcised in your heart, it's talking about you. So read the Old Testament again and see who he's talking about. Paul says, we are the circumcision. We are the children of Abraham. That's how the New Testament writers understand the Old Testament. Salvation and blessing is all promised to those who are in Christ. It's not about their genealogy, about being children of Abraham. What did John the Baptist say? They were saying to him, we're the children of Abraham. And he says, God can take these stones and make children of Abraham. God wants faith and repentance. So that's number one lesson. It's very important to see so we understand the flow of Scripture, who the promises are made to. Lesson number two, and I'll close. Lesson number two. Don't fall into the same trap that the Jews did, thinking that their external rituals would save them. People think that all the time. People will think, well, I go to church. I got baptized. Had the Lord's Supper. I gave money to church. I'm supporting the ministry. I'm doing all of these things. So, got to be saved, right? Nope. It's only Christ that saves. None of those things save. Christ alone saves. Now, don't get me wrong. All those things are good. You should go to church. You should give to the ministry. You should get baptized. You should have the Lord's Supper. You should have fellowship. You should have Bible study. You should have prayer. You should do all these things. All these things are gloriously good. But if they don't reflect what's in the heart, they're meaningless. They mean nothing. How often do you hear people, oh, I was baptized as a baby. I was confirmed when I was 12. I put my hand up when the Sunday school teacher said, hey, who wants to be saved? I signed a card. I walked the aisle. I prayed a prayer. Someone said to me, do you want to believe in Jesus? Yes, and I prayed a prayer, so I'm in. Don't fall into the trap in thinking that, well, I did those things, so I'm saved, and then you end up like the Jews, living like the devil, but hey, I'm circumcised. No. External rituals will not save you or keep you saved or anything like that. We are saved through faith in Christ and Christ alone. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.